Okay, we are going to turn the page just on the subject matter on this, and we're going to look because the finish line is in sight, according to the European Commission President Ursula von der Leyen. She was landing in Uruguay to meet these South American leaders at the Mercosur summit, and she is about to ink a deal on behalf of the European Union. However, there is some profound disagreement. It's a rare issue that has united environmentalists and beef farmers, and obviously politicians who are alive to the concerns of both and either party are opposing the deal, at least in Ireland, France, Austria, amongst others in Europe. Ciarán Mullooly, you are against this deal. You are looking for Ireland to make better strides towards opposing it. What can Ireland realistically do, and what do you believe the impact of the deal would be?
Well, firstly, the impact of the deal, in my opinion, is going to be quite staggering and very, very detrimental to our major industry in Ireland, our beef sector. I was reading back tonight, Colm, the report carried out for the Irish government by our own Department of Enterprise, Trade and Employment just about 3 years ago, when, you know, they've been trying to put a Mercosur deal, you know, for nearly 20 years. But, you know, when you read the report, it is sobering in terms of what's going on here. It makes it very clear that in terms of our beef sector, we are going to lose. We are going to lose markets, and they've estimated it between 45 million and 55 million, which I think is probably not quite, it's probably even worse in the intervening period of what I'm hearing. But the other thing about it is that, you know, the question about, people will say it can go the other way, we can sell into the Mercosur.
Yeah, that's it. The people who are in favour of it say that it will be good for agri-food, including potentially the dairy sector. It will be good for pharmaceuticals. It will be good for the computer industry, all of which are also prominent industries in Ireland.
This may be the claim, but when you read the report carried out by our own department, Colm, it makes it very clear that the regulatory environment and relatively low English proficiency makes it extremely difficult to trade with and start a farm in the Mercosur. It goes on to point out, as we all know, there's four different markets with individual cultures, languages and regulations. There are nothing but obstacles going the other way. Whereas the beef trade is a trade. We have built up a beef trade and a very substantial one throughout the world. It is one area of expertise that we have done very well. And it's one area, I have to say, in terms of farming, that is going very well at the moment. We have a sector which is buoyant at the moment. This is the last thing we need. This is a factor which has been on the doorsteps and in the marts of Ireland since the day I started canvassing on the 14th of April. Okay. For God's sake, people say to you, when you go to Europe, if there's one thing you can try and find allies to stop, it's the Mercosur deal. And that's why today's, you know, the tweet you mentioned there from von der Leyen has gone down like a lead balloon tonight. Okay. I'm already hearing our plans for protests here on Monday if this goes ahead.
Okay, I'm just going to take a brief step back because there are a couple of introductory comments that it's worth giving to listeners. So Mercosur is the South American bloc that comprises Argentina, Brazil, Paraguay and Uruguay. The negotiations on this, or at least the talks about it, started in 1999. The process with regard to trade deals in the European Union is the European Council gives permission to the European Commission to kick them off. They start off the negotiations. They go back to the Council effectively for permission to sign off on the deal. The permission is granted by the Council on the basis of a qualified majority. In other words, 55% of the countries representing 65% of the population then give the Commission the permission to sign the deal. And then that deal is brought back to the European Parliament for final consent. So they're the stages of it. There are other types of trade deals in the European Union that are called mixed trade deals, whereby national parliaments would be given sign-off in it, and they can sometimes be held up. People will be familiar with the Canada trade deal, where a regional assembly in Belgium managed to hold up that deal, and there was some controversy about that over the issue of an investor court, which I'm open to correction, but I don't think applies in the Mercosur deal. There are arbitration panels, but not, as far as I know, an investor court.
But it is a mixed deal. It's the fact is that what Ursula von der Leyen wants to do is she wants to split it to try and bypass the national parliament vote. So where the EU Commission doesn't have the competence for elements of the trade trade deal. So sometimes that's
so they have competence
court.
For trade.
They have, but there's other elements in it that could be services and that they don't have full competence. So what Ursula von der Leyen is trying to do is to bypass national parliament's decisions by splitting the deal. But what Ciarán didn't answer is what can the Irish government do? Because both Micheál Martin and Simon Harris were very emphatic in the debate when Mary Lou challenged them, because we have a parliamentary question from October of this year by Minister Peter Burke saying that the Mercosur trade deal is part of their strategic objectives and that diversifying the food supply is a really important feature. And then they were emphatic that they were opposed to this deal. But the problem is that there's only two countries who have officially informed the Commission of their opposition, and that is France and Poland. Ireland has not done that. So if they really do oppose Mercosur, what they should be doing is writing to the Commission tonight and saying, we are joining with Poland and France and we can form a blocking minority which needs to have 35% of the population and four member states. And they can do that, and that would then formally mean that Ursula von der Leyen cannot proceed with the trade deal.
Okay, the position, just sorry, before I get to Ciarán Mullooly, and this is according to the Irish Times report that was published just before we came on air, that Charlie McConnell, the Agriculture Minister, said Ireland reserves its position until the Commission has clarified how it intends to proceed in the event of the agreement being concluded. He said, from Fianna Fáil's perspective, there's no question of ratifying a Mercosur trade agreement without satisfactory and legally binding commitments on matters relating to trade and sustainable development, including climate, biodiversity and deforestation protections. I will come back to you in a minute, Ciarán Mullooly, because I know you do want to get in on this, but we haven't got to Ciarán O'Hearn, who's here in studio with us. Does Labour have a take on the Mercosur trade deal, Ciarán O'Hearn? And if so, what is it and what does it want the Irish government to do?
Well, we oppose it, I think, firstly, to say that. I think it displays a lack of joined up thinking internationally when it comes to climate action. Obviously, as you just mentioned, you know, this industrial meat production in Brazil and in the Mercosur countries, it is driving deforestation, it is creating biodiversity loss, and it's actually been really damaging to rights of workers and indigenous peoples in those countries as well. So, I mean, the Friends of the Earth have said that this is going to lock us into a path of environmental disasters, how they've described it. Our view is that the government can't really have it both ways here. You know, they tell us that, you know, we're exporting grass-fed, sustainable Irish beef for the benefit of the planet. At the same time, they want us to import 99,000 tonnes a year of industrially produced beef from Brazil and Argentina. So we oppose it.
Yeah. And the EU DG Health and Food Safety have confirmed that Brazil cannot guarantee that that beef won't be treated with hormones, so it won't be hormone beef. The Mercosur trade deal will reduce the number of checks that will be carried out. And also Brazil uses pesticides. One third of pesticides used in Brazil are banned in the EU. So it's bad for public health as well as for all of the climate, indigenous population and the small farmers in Ireland.
Yeah, Ciarán Mullooly.
This is the point I was going to make to answer the question fully. What can we do? What can we do tonight? Instead of sitting in a Scottish hotel or wherever they are in Wales or in the UK on the 9 o'clock news tonight, perhaps our Taoiseach in waiting or the double act, whichever it is, would get on the government jet and start getting around Europe to see, can we find more allies in this situation? You know, we've only learned about Poland in the last week or two. You know, there is some suggestion that Italy would look favourably on this as well. There's a number of other countries. And rather than sit back and you know, start this phony process with speaking to parties in Ireland about maybe we should get up on their backside and actually seek more allies. That's the key to this. And Lynn has hit the key point here tonight for consumers. You know, we saw this when I came into the Parliament. I asked a question of the Commission a month ago about the impact assessment. And that includes for people who buy their meat and in the supermarket and find out it's coming from Brazil. Is there going to be hormones in that beef again? There's absolutely no progress has been made on this by the European Commission. Absolutely no commitments have been given. And we're looking into a situation which is extremely dangerous and extremely unfair. Irish farmers are facing strict rules. We know it in terms of veterinary practice and environmental practice. And here tonight, we're on the verge of a deal that von der Leyen is absolutely chasing into and ignoring the most fundamental issue with regard to food safety.
All right. The argument was made, I think this is back in 2021, it was an interview with Leo Varadkar, then Taoiseach and Minister for Enterprise. He said the government won't sign up to agreement, they wouldn't ratify it or vote for it. They weren't satisfied with the environmental protections contained in the agreement, but he said it wasn't good enough to say that Ireland could protect it just its farming sector, that wouldn't wash in Europe. They would have to, he said, we have to say that we're against ratifying the agreement because the environmental standards in Brazil aren't high high enough, but we have to be credible. We can't be giving out about Brazil cutting down rainforests when they have more trees than us. So in other words, Ciarán Mullooly, I'll go to you on this first. He's saying that Ireland has to up its climate game before it has the moral authority to make the environmental argument in Europe.
I think Ireland has been upping its climate game. The problem is, since this negotiation started, the agreement that's been drawn out has not been brought up to date. It hasn't been brought up to speed in terms of what we're doing. And principally, I want to say, you know, in the next few days, there is going to be considerable wringing of hands again about this. We have made. All the parties during the election made these claims that they were going to put this issue first and foremostly. We cannot stand by, we need the discussion. It has to go back to our own parliament. There can be no split. That's a crucial issue that Lynn has mentioned as well. And, you know, I'm disgusted tonight to hear some suggestion that it could still go to the council and the council might somehow refer it back to the Irish. I don't think that's going to happen. It's very clear to us that regardless of the implications on food safety or indeed environmental issues, that von der Leyen is aiming to put her name down in history with one of the biggest trade deals, she thinks. And a number of countries are rubbing their hands together tonight, particularly the Germans here in Brussels.
All right. And
they're
also
looking forward to selling their cars back into the South American markets. But for us, it's absolutely disastrous.
OK, Lynn Boylan. But, you know, the Germans aren't alone in having a car industry and rubbing their hands on this. Italy has a sizable car industry. There's always been that conflict in Italy between the industrial north and the other agricultural areas in the country. And traditionally, politically in Italy, the industrial north has won out in terms of where Italy goes. So why would anybody be optimistic that Italy would row in on behalf of beef farmers in Ireland and France when it has its own auto industry that's in difficult times at the moment?
Well, we know that Italy is split within its government. So one minister has said they're opposed and one minister has said that they don't have issues with it. But the key point is you can have a trade deal, but you have to have the chapters that are built on proper sustainability chapters and proper human rights chapters and proper employment chapters. And that's not the case with Mercosur. And the issue here is for the Parliament is supposed to have oversight of trade deals. I'm on the Trade Committee. The Commission hasn't brought forward any texts since last year, November last year. They're trying to say that the text never changed. And now suddenly when France is in crisis, the leading opponent of this trade deal, Ursula von der Leyen boards a plane and goes to Montevideo to basically conclude this deal, when nobody in the Parliament has seen any of the negotiating texts to suggest anything has been addressed around the concerns. I mean, deforestation in Brazil has increased by 45% in the last year. So, you know, if we're talking about a climate crisis, we cannot be signing up to a trade deal that's leading to more deforestation. And especially given that Ursula von der Leyen's commission also delayed the deforestation legislation. And we know that Brazil were citing that as one of the stumbling blocks to this deal being concluded. She announced she was delaying it by 12 months. And now suddenly Mercosur is happening.
Right.
So we know we're going to see more deforestation if Mercosur passed.
Ciarán O'Hearn, one of the issues in this is that the European Union is promising or committing to advancing the Paris Climate Agreement through the offices of the Mercosur trade deal, should it be signed. But, I mean, Argentina is a member of the Mercosur bloc. Can it really be believed that that'll get anywhere when Argentina pulled their negotiating team out of the climate talks in Azerbaijan, that the follow-through will be there?
No, I don't think so. And I think a lot of the commitments that we've got in any of these deals are non-binding anyway. So I just don't think that that really is cuts the mustard.
If I could make a broader point, on the EU and I suppose its approach to climate and to farmers, really. I mean, because they're the people who are going to be impacted by a lot of these agreements. I mean, even, you know, we saw the approach to the nitrates derogation and how many farmers were up in arms about it. And especially you have this cohort of politicians now that Independent Ireland, of course, are one of them who try and give a voice to the farmers who are very unhappy with the EU. And I think the EU has, especially in its relationship with Ireland, to tread very carefully because really, once you lose the dressing room, it's very, very hard to get it back, especially when farmers are saying that it's targeting their incomes. And of course, food production is a huge, you know, economic asset that Ireland has in terms of our exports and so on. So I think certainly there's a lot at risk here. And I think the EU should probably tread very carefully. Now.
Right. Ciarán Mullooly, though, you know, people are talking about concerns about beef, but the EU signed an agreement with New Zealand that took tariffs on sheep meat down to zero. It's doubled the amount of sheep meat that New Zealand can export into the European Union. They already have 16% of what... 16% of total EU sheep meat market. Why wasn't there much hue and cry about for on behalf of Ireland, Irish sheep farmers when this was going through as there is about the beef farmers? Is it because the beef farming lobby simply has more money to raise its voice?
No, I think there's a realization coming across here in the last 12 months of what actually is going on in Europe in terms of food. And to me, this is the central point in all we're talking about, food security. Food security, the facts are that the livestock numbers are going down in Europe. We've had it again from Hansen, the new agriculture commissioner, in recent weeks, confirming that our livestock numbers are going down. So what do we do? Support the beef trade in Brazil. I mean, it's absolutely crazy. I mean, if we're going to have food security in Europe, particularly in difficult times, the times of war and conflict, they're going to have to face up to this issue. And with regard to, you know,
what do you say to the argument? I'll go to the rest of the panel on this. What do you say to the argument that with the cost of living crisis the way it is, people might be hopeful that imports of beef from somewhere else or food imports under the auspices of a free trade deal might lead to greater competition and better food prices in the supermarkets?
Well, I have news for you, Colin. If they're going to be allowed to export into this country, they won't be sending in lower cuts of meat into the markets here. They'll be trying to sell and compete with the top lines that Irish farmers have been successfully selling throughout Europe. It will not be leading to reductions in prices. They'll be looking for a top dollar on top meat products. And that's the difficulty here. That's where the margin has been for Irish farmers. And that's the reason we've been able to retain the number of farmers we have at the moment. This is not a good deal for consumers. It's not a good deal for farmers. And as I say, the Irish government, whoever is Taoiseach and whoever is assistant Taoiseach or turnaround Taoiseach, they need to get up of their backside tomorrow and start going, come back to Brussels and come back to von der Leyen and try at this stage to put down the writing that we're not going to stand by and allow our own parliament to be bypassed or all the other parliaments in Europe to be bypassed either. In this
all right, but realistically, if the deal, if it's limited to the EU has competence on the trade in goods and it doesn't go to the national parliament for sign off, what can the Irish government realistically do?
Well, there are a number of areas that von der Leyen will be seeking support on from the Irish ministers and council, new council, as they go forward. But she has a very substantial outline of programmes in front of her. And it seems to me that instead of rolling over on issues as we have been doing in the past, we're going to have to take a more aggressive line and put a marker in the sand on some of these issues. I mean, as I said earlier, Europe is in a changing state. The reason I mentioned Italy was, as has been said already, is because of the changing size of the government there. In France, we have things changing in the last couple of days, but perhaps not so good for us either in terms of this particular debate. But we have to get up to speed on our partners in Europe, and we have to be at the table, and we have to be making a cohesive argument that we're not doing it. We're absent at the moment without leave. We're going around the country talking to independents and smaller parties.
Lynn Boylan, the criticism has been made by, you know, MEPs, Irish MEPs, that the Commission hasn't spoken to the Agriculture Committee, but the European Commission, Sabine Vaillant, a senior figure in the Directorate General of Trade, did go to the International Trade Committee and was speaking to them, I think, just on the 3rd of this month. I mean, is it fair to criticise the Commission about not speaking to the Agriculture Committee, say, when the Independent or the International Trade Committee is the one they normally consult with when it comes to trade agreements?
The issue is they refused to do that briefing in public. It was an in-camera briefing. They were asked to come back this week. They refused to come back before the committee. But the key issue is they didn't present any new evidence. So within the treaties, the European Commission is supposed to present the most up-to-date negotiating text to the members of the Trade Committee, and we have to sign declarations that we won't share that information. It's sensitive, but we get to see oversight of it. There has not been a new negotiating text since November 2023. So they've come into the committee, they haven't shared any of the text, they haven't shown us anything that's changed. They said there is no changes. So how is it a point that they're saying that they've addressed the concerns and issues and they're able to sign the deal tomorrow when they haven't actually shared any negotiating text to show that there's been any attempts to address the concerns? So they're not living up to their obligations to the European Parliament and to the Trading Committee.
Okay, finally to you, Ciarán, you mentioned, I think, the issue of indigenous peoples and human rights as part of EU human rights agreements. I mean, has the EU's approach to the Israel Association Agreement to some degree damaged the credibility of its follow through on the human rights enforcement through trade agreements? As far as audiences in this country are concerned, not only has it not triggered that clause, but it has yet to answer the Irish government's request for even a review of that clause to examine it.
Yeah, I mean, look, we are all appalled at the European Union's response to this. I mean, we have to give a certain amount of credit to our government for pushing the issue so far as they have done. But look, we obviously want to see the Occupied Territories Bill enacted here as well. But the EU's response to what is happening in Gaza and von der Leyen's response to that has just been appalling, pathetic.
I mean, on the enforcement issue specifically. Do you think that would, you know, in future agreements, do you think that has harmed or jaundiced Irish attitudes?
Absolutely. It's just meaningless words on a page. If this isn't an abuse of human rights, if this doesn't fall within a definition of that, if what's happening in Gaza, well, then what?
Like
what
when Commissioner Šefčovič came before the Trade Committee during those hearings to whether or not he was being approved, I specifically asked him that question on the EU-Israel Association Agreement. Clearly, Article 2 has been breached. I mean, we've all seen it with our own eyes. And I made the point to him that the credibility of the EU is on the floor internationally now. And why would any country comply with Article 2 or human rights chapters within a trade agreement when they can turn around and point to Israel and go, well, sure, there's no consequences for them. So why would I be held to a higher standard than Israel?
Sure, we'll say whatever you put in front of us. Who cares?
So I specifically asked him that question and he more or less said, well, sure, it's a political matter.
Okay, we're going to look at issues relating to climate policy and the next government. But first, we're going to take a short break. We're back in a minute.
The Late Debate with Cullum O'Mungon on RTE Radio 1.